Yes, so this is episode 25 of the All Is Rational K-Pop Podcast, and tomorrow is Dee's birthday. Well, it's today for me.
I don't know what day it will be when the episode releases. I don't know when you're going to edit, but my birthday is in between now and whenever.
Yeah, so this is the late episode because of Hurricane Irene, and I'm just glad that, you know, Dee is fine and there was no loss of lives where she lives, right?
Yeah.
That's good. That's good. So I'm not sure where you guys are, but I hope you're keeping dry and safe. Okay? And yeah, a lot of news today. Just today, actually. A lot of news came out today and yesterday. But we will start with the biggest piece of news that I got this morning. And this is about Daesung. And he's not guilty. Okay? I don't know what to say about that. Okay. Just the fact that Daesung is not guilty and the prosecutors had a hard time with Daesung's case because there wasn't enough evidence to determine if the motorcyclist was dead or alive before he got run over by Daesung's car. So I don't understand this sentence, though. According to the prosecutors, they reached a not guilty verdict on the principle of innocent until proven guilty. But isn't that how it's supposed to work anyway?
Yeah, the burden of proof is on the government, in this case represented by the prosecutors, to provide enough evidence for the jury or judge, depending on how the system is set up, to determine that the person is guilty. If they don't reach their burden of proof, then the case will either be dropped or the person is inevitably going to be found not guilty.
There you go. Thank you. Law lesson. So anyway, the case is now closed because Daesung has also reached a settlement with the family of the deceased motorcyclist a while back. In line with this, YG has announced that definitely, okay, Daesung will not promote this year and will spend the rest of the year reflecting and will focus on going to church. Mm-hmm. And that's it.
Good for him.
Good for him. And we move on to the next piece of news. Right, Dee?
Oh, okay. I'll read it then. Fine. Mm-hmm. So, SM Town in New York was confirmed by a tweet from Isaac.
Yeah. She's jealous. She's not going to be able to join them in October. So congratulations, East Coast. You will be getting SM Town. So I wonder how much the tickets will be because I'm sure it will be very expensive.
Guaranteed. Mm,
I hope you guys have saved up for that. I'm sure you guys have saved up for that. The moment the rumors hit, I'm pretty sure. Okay? The KBS concert is still happening, right? As far as I know.
Yeah, and it's still free.
You know what? If I were in New York in October, I probably pick the KBS concert over SM Town next year.
Me too. I mean, more people I want to see. Mm-hmm. Plus the price of it. Plus it's free.
Yeah.
And the SM Town prices have yet to be announced, but it'll probably be in line with either the show in Paris or the last show in LA.
Yeah.
Which means every ticket is upwards of $100.
Oh, man.
So, well,
bloody expensive.
For most people, it's going to be a once-in-a-lifetime thing. So I think a lot of people will be willing to spend that kind of money. And of course, if you don't spend it and they don't get the kind of results they're looking for, then, you know, no one's going to come back to New York. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, fans.
People are going to be more willing to pay that price. Yeah.
Fans, if you want them to come back, make sure you pay the price, okay? Very expensive, but I'm sure it will be worth it, okay? If all your favorite groups are there. Okay, in related SM news, this makes me really upset. My favorite SNSD member, Soo Young, had a car accident and you know, she sustained a sacrovertebral fracture. Shit, it's a back injury. And according to SM statement, and this is what made me upset, okay? She's doing well, and the injury is nothing serious. Nothing serious? Like, come on. What the fuck? I mean, really? Fracturing your back isn't serious? I don't know what serious is to these entertainment companies. Maybe if you're in a coma or something, that's serious?
Apparently. You have to be in a coma, or whatever happened to you resulted in, like, a loss of limbs. Then I think it's serious. Other than that, you know, you'll be fine after like a week rest because, clearly K-pop singers are superhuman with incredible regenerative healing abilities.
Yeah.
So, you know, and of course they don't say how serious the fracture is, whether, it's a hairline or whether she actually, you know, snapped the bone in our hip, because you know if it actually snapped, saying it's not serious would result in someone burning down their headquarters or something like that. But we don't know how severe the fracture is in itself. We only have SM's insistence that it's not serious.
Whatever, SM. Okay, whatever.
They say the doctors say that she will rest for a while and she'll be fine. Yeah,
for a while.
So they canceled SM Town in Tokyo, her appearance at SM Town in Tokyo, yes, and one other event.
Yep. And I hope she doesn't go to New York, because is that enough time to recover?
It's over a month, maybe.
I hope.
If she only has bed rest, she'll probably be okay to, like, stand up, walk around the stage. But dancing, I don't know if she'll be okay for dancing.
No, I doubt it. I mean, even if it's just a hairline fracture, it would still hurt, okay? Because I was telling Dee earlier that I ran 10K today and my back freaking hurts. I'm not going to do it again. I'm not going to be suckered into running that far. But this is probably hell.
Maybe her drugs are very, very good.
She must be drugged up, okay? Like, extremely drugged up. She must be floating now. All right. Well, anyway, Soo Young, get well soon. Take a lot of rest, okay? Don't work for at least a month.
Then you gotta work to eat.
Well, you know, she has to recover first before she can perform properly. Oh, well. Whatever. I hope she just gets better soon. And that's it. Okay. Now, the next piece of news that we have here is about Billboard Korea, and the Billboard charts has been launched, finally, because I think they were talking about this last year. The chart is called the Billboard Korea Hot 100 and is based on digital sales via leading websites as well as downloads from mobile services using an industry standard formula and the most credible music data sources within Korea. Thank you, Billboard. What does it say here? K-pop Hot 100 debuts simultaneously here on Billboard.com in the international charts section of Billboard.biz and Billboard Magazine and also in Billboard Korea's website, billboard.co.kr. So there you go. Interesting.
I took a look at the free chart, which is 1 to 50. It's really weird the way Billboard does the chart, because you'd think that if you're gonna make anything paid, it would be the top half, which is what people care about.
Yeah.
But I think Sistar was on top.
Yes, Sistar. Sistar was on top.
Right.
Well, congratulations, Sistar. For how long?
For the first week.
For the past week?
Probably just a week. I don't know. But it's designed, of course, around digital album sales only.
Yep.
Because they, I guess they determined from being in the market that the sales from physical albums is not enough to justify having a physical album sales chart. Because, again, we know that only the most popular of artists sell above 100,000 copies. I guess the average artist probably moves like 20,000 copies max. So it doesn't make much sense to fit that in. I guess they're going to go mostly by ringtone sales and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's probably more popular in Japan, but that sort of service, SkyWorld, things like that. But it is interesting that the Billboard itself decided that it's important enough a market for them to make that their second chart in Asia.
So. Yeah, Japan was the first. Well, as far as, you know, I'm concerned, this should be Korea's most accurate music chart and should change the way most consumers look at how their favorite artists perform on the charts. Because, you know, it's Billboard's industry standard way of computing sales. And it's not just for Korea. I mean, if it's standard, then I guess they use it all over the world, right?
Yeah, and a lot of the problem that the Gaon chart had when it first launched is that people were concerned about how they were gonna combine all of these different music sites and use a standard metric that, you know, was gonna be either infallible or very close to it. And I'm not sure what the reaction is now that Gaon's been in place, I think, for over a year. But you know, having another chart that's the actual Billboard of Korea probably, you know, is more beneficial to at least have two, whether they're two competing charts or two charts that are gonna, you know, echo
kind of like other's balance and checks, right? Because Gaon has the physical albums taken into account as well. So I think this is a good move. So, way to go, Korea. You got your own Billboard chart. It means your music market must be big enough. Alrighty. Now, we got some plagiarism news here. First is Rain's Busan Woman. Is it plagiarized? Well, it seems that some people think so. The song, apparently, that it copied from is Rafael Sadiq's Detroit Girl. This is an old song, right? 2004.
I didn't even realize Rafael Sadiq was still making music in 2004. I feel like a horrible person now. Okay.
Yeah, apparently so. Chorus and the general feel of the song seems to be lifted from Detroit Girl. I listened to it, and yes, it sounds quite similar, but I'm not an expert, okay? So, I don't know. I mean, how many songs can you actually create with all the chords and notes in music, right?
Yeah, that's always a part of the problem, that songs are going to sound similar to each other. It sort of comes down to defining what plagiarism is in music, the difference between plagiarism and sampling, like how far, again, is too far. And I remember reading discussions about a certain prominent American producer who, you know, they claim will basically take the entire song and then add drums to it or whatever and repackage it as his own beat. And apparently that's okay, because the limits of what is sampling and what is plagiarism in hip hop in particular is is very, you know, gray area. No one seems to really get up in arms about it. Because again, most of the time the person getting screwed is a small time producer who is, you know, you're sending your beats to people without really any expectation of getting any information back.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you probably don't even make money off of your beats. You probably have your own job and this is a hobby. And then, you know, the next thing you know, your beat is being used for kind of like a number one song. And then I don't know how it goes in terms of, you know, your legal ability to get money back from that situation. I don't know whether this guy pays out, or whether he pays like at a low value and then the song ends up being a hit and then it's too late because you already got paid.
Who is this producer? So, who is this prominent producer?
I don't know. I do know, but I'm not going to say. Because
do I happen to like him or her?
I don't know if you like him.
Hmm.
All right.
Are you going to say or not? No.
Okay. No, because I don't know if it's a legitimate criticism or just a person's gripe.
Let's leave it at that. But you're going to tell me later.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
Okay, now, more plagiarism news, but this time it's the other way around. Oh my goodness, Super Junior gets plagiarized. Amazing. And this is shocking because it's the same song. Oh my goodness. Well, Super Junior's Bonamana was plagiarized by a Moroccan group called, I don't know how to pronounce this. I'm so sorry if we have any listeners from Morocco, but it's called Tyra Line or something like that. Well, they apparently jacked Super Junior's Bonamana. I listened to the group's version of the song and yeah, it's basically the same song with different lyrics. You know, this isn't one of those situations wherein the song was produced by a Scandinavian producer and then they sold the rights, because this song was made by SM hitmaker Yoo Young Jin. And it seems that SM will be suing the group. So there you go. Tables have been turned. Have you listened to this, Dee?
No, I have not listened to it yet. I was not aware, remember? My internet only came back on yesterday.
You should listen to this and, you know, get a laugh out of this. Because it's the same song. My goodness. I was just waiting for Super Junior's lyrics to come out. And, yeah. And then I get something else in a different language. I'm like, ah! Oh, my goodness.
It's not, as far as I know, it's not the first time that a K-pop song has actually been plagiarized. And, like you said, not an example of the company, the original producer selling, the way they sell the rights is basically by language. So they're selling the rights to, for example, SM to make a Korean version of the song,
mm-hmm.
and selling the rights, for example, to an American group to make mm-hmm. the English version of the song. So in that way, like, they kind of retain the rights to decide who sings over the beat, but...
Mm. This is what happened with Mirotic and I think it's Genie, SNSD.
I don't know. I can't tell you.
Anyway, moving on. This is Yuna versus Lion Media.
I remember reading that Lion Media countersued. I don't know if there's any information past that point.
No.
They countersued her for like $1 million or something like that?
Yes, $1 million. According to the article here, Lion Media is countersuing Yuna for damages due to her terminating her contract to the tune of $1 million. And according to the article as well, there will be a mediation meeting, which is probably mm-hmm. for settlement on September 21st. Yuna, we wish you the best, okay? Remember, folks, this is a girl who ended up in a coma due to pneumonia and was forced to perform, okay, while not fully recovered.
I mean, I don't see her losing because Lion Media... I can't imagine how much influence Lion Media has, but at the same time... You know, you should always prepare yourself to be surprised when it comes to comparing logic to what actually happens in K-pop. She started the litigation, so whoever was advising her, I assume they had enough information to decide this was a good idea. I do think she would be better off if she could get into a bigger company that could promote her better.
Or maybe try getting into Fluxus. She should be good with Fluxus.
should be, but you don't know what company she has the idea to join with. Or maybe she doesn't join with a new company at all. Maybe she wants to stop making music. Like, you never know what it is behind people's motivations. I think Yoonha is only 23. So, it's kind of, what do I want to do with my music from this point forward? Or what do I want to do with my life, really? Because she says her contract is unfair in terms of, I guess, length and in terms of how much work they require from her. She's the only major artist I could think of under
I don't even know who Lion Media is. Never heard of them before, you know.
their company. I do believe Aju was in the same company as her, but he has
He's
since
gone,
disappeared.
right?
Yeah. He had unfortunate circumstances where they banned his song. I don't think his company was prepared with another one, so he just kind of disappeared.
Too bad. Too bad. He's cute too. Oh well.
All you care about, you don't even care if he could sing or if he was up to par as a performer.
He's
He's
cute.
horribly
Because I didn't
shallow.
really listen to his songs anyway, but he's cute. He's good to look at. I know I'm horribly shallow. It happens, okay. And I admit it. From time to time, I can be shallow. Can I, right? I can.
You're always shallow.
All right, now, next news here is about 21, who just completed their first solo concert called Nolza. And the concert ran for 3 days, I think. Three performances beginning on the 26th. Seems like it was a huge success. And it had GD, Taeyang, Park Minshew, and Park Bom's sister, who plays the cello, as special guests. So, congratulations, 21. That makes you legit performers now, I suppose.
It makes you people who can carry a solo concert series of three shows, I guess.
So they have enough songs for a concert now. Now, before you scream and shout and say, I'm just doing this because I need to have my JYJ fix every week. Well, just gonna do it anyway. Doesn't matter. JYJ has been appointed as UNH's ambassador. And yeah, I think this is a great idea because JYJ has a lot of fans, and spreading awareness amongst these fans is one step to educating the rest of the world about HIV. Okay, so I'm just gonna go into information overload right now. Did you guys know that at the end of 2010, about 34 million people have HIV? And according to UNAIDS.org, the stigma and discrimination against people living with HIV remains widespread in Asia and the Pacific, and not just, in my region. It's everywhere. So education is the key because people with HIV should not be discriminated on. They need our understanding and, of course, our support. And you can get information, no more information, from UNAIDS.org. And you can always follow them on Twitter at twitter.com/UNAIDS. There you go. Public service done. Okay. We move on to some army news here. First is Boom is out of the army. He got discharged last week. He's going to be back in Strongheart. And he's also going to be on Yonge Street as a DJ this coming week. So, welcome back, Boom.
Like,
Time flies fast.
yeah, as long as you're not the person doing it. And this is a discussion I've had with people who were thinking about their favorite singers and when they're going to go into the army and how depressed they're gonna feel, how music is gonna stop for them and stuff like that. I'm like, you guys are overdoing it. I've been into K-pop long enough for people that I like to go into the army, and what really happens is, so if you're not actively thinking about that person constantly, you don't feel the time at all. The
Ow.
time is relief for the singer himself and I guess his friends and family to feel. If you support other artists in the time in between, it's gonna go by even faster. But if he is all you focus on, then yes, it will feel like an eternity. But
I agree with
2 years
that.
is not a long time at all. And
Yeah, I can't believe it. 2 years. Because as far as I know, Strongheart is a new-ish program for me. Okay? So it's been 2 years since they've shown Strongheart.
I
Unbelievable.
guess so.
Okay, well, this brings us to the most important army news this week. Oh my goodness. This is about Hichel, and he's going to join the army on September 1.
Which is a couple days from now.
Yeah. Thursday. It's a Thursday. You know, I'm actually surprised that he's going to be joining this soon. I mean, I was expecting sometime late this year or early next year, but not literally a few weeks after letting everyone know that they have plans of going into the army. Oh, in case you're wondering, he will not be on active duty, but he will be doing public service work due to his leg injury from this car accident, you know, when he got the steel rods in his leg. The day Hichel goes to the army will be a sad day for his petals. You know, he calls his fans petals and elves as well. And it will also be a sad day for his followers on Twitter, including me, because I don't think he'd still be able to tweet as much. So, yeah, Hichel, your royal douchebaggery will be missed. So we'll see you again in 2 years, okay? He's very good entertainment. Mm-hmm. I hope he still tweets. Will you miss him?
Probably, but I don't focus on Hichel as much as I used to a couple years ago, so...
Yeah, but his presence on Twitter will definitely be missed. Trust me on that. Okay, more Super Junior news. And this time, it's about Shindong. Well, the guy has admitted to getting double eyelid surgery. And all the while, I thought that his diet was working. That made him look a teeny bit better. Well, truth be told, he looks better with his new eyes. Good for you, Shindong. I don't have anything against plastic surgery, as long as it makes you look better.
Okay.
Because, you know, he has his diet, and it's publicized. He has his diet diary as well. And then he goes out and says, I got surgery on my eyes, so, yeah.
So, oh, well. We are on debuts, comebacks, and new releases. To the surprise of absolutely no one, Super Junior issued a repackaged version of their album that includes Superman, which is the song they were performing alongside Mr. Simple in their comeback performances.
Why would you promote a song that isn't in your album? I was looking for Superman in the album before, and then, okay, fine, definitely, there's going to be a repackage.
With SM Groups, is almost always a repackage, but it was weird, and then they started off with promoting a song that wasn't on the original album.
Yeah, it's a bit strange. I don't know what they were thinking. But yeah, I hope you guys have enough money left to buy this if you want to support Super Junior. Or maybe better yet, you can just buy the track digitally, just one track, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Saves you money, you know,
yeah, but
and
with,
time too.
With SM artists, they don't perform as well digitally because SM distributes their own stuff. But they're more likely to have physical sales. So I think that too is part of the reason why they do repackages. Because it encourages fans to buy a more than one version of the album. And it also encourages people who, let's say, would not have bought the album without Superman being on it to now go ahead and buy the new version because it has more songs.
That's typical SM behavior for you. So yeah, I hope you have enough money for this. Or maybe I hope you didn't buy the first release, okay? But I'm sure the pictures are different. So if you're a fan, I'm sure that will be fine with you. You're prepared for
stuff
like this.
They're used to stuff like that,
I know.
I think.
Anyway, the next piece of news that we have here for debuts, comebacks, and new releases is about Stellar, Eric's group. They debuted with Rocket Girl. The MV and the song are both out. The group is from Top Class Entertainment, which I've mentioned before is Eric Munn's company. Since this is Eric's debut group, I hope that they're successful. Anyway, I'm surprised that I actually like the song.
I don't know why.
And well,
duh.
You said the song, not the music video.
Just the song. No, I like the song. And I honestly don't know why. It's annoying singing. I mean, people aren't too happy with how they sing.
It is. It does not sound much like singing for the verses. Like, what's sad is that the chorus sounds really well done. And it shows off their vocal abilities, but the verses do not do that.
It's a bit strange, right, that song? Because it sounds like a mixture of Born This Way or Lady Gaga. And then when you go to Eric's rap, or if you want to call that a rap anyway, it's just one line. My boyfriend said it reminded him of Party Rock by LMFAO. Oh, By the way, this is about Stellar. It turns out that the MV for Rocket Girl is actually the edited version because KBS banned the MV preemptively. It was banned for violence and sexually suggestive...
Lyrics? I don't know.
Whatever? What? Lyrics? I don't know. Sexually suggestive the lyrics or scenes?
Of course, I've seen. They said they were going to put up online the unedited version later. But there was just a lot of gun butting and like the... I don't know who edited the video or directed it, but the lasers and the way they were avoiding them was really awkward because it's like the person would fire and then the laser would go one way and then the girl would dodge. It's like, you should have already been hit.
Mm-hmm.
No, it doesn't bounce. It's just really weird.
But I don't know why I like the song, seriously. I've been trying to rack my brains thinking.
I don't know, it's weird.
Yeah. Probably am. Okay. Anyway, we move on to the next new release here, and this is Chinese singer Wei Chen and Runaway. And this is a track featuring Lee Jun and Thunder FM Black. So, yeah, I like the song. And again, I don't know why, but maybe it's because of the beat. I think I can figure this out. You know, it's a nice beat. And I like songs like this. And yes, you know what? I think Thunder did a good job in the rap part.
I wasn't going to say anything negative about him. I've not heard the song, and I do agree that he is getting better.
Yes, he's improved a lot. Good job, Thunder and Black and Wei Chen. Good song. So support the artist, buy it online because it's a digital release. Buy it off Saribada. And in the special music episode that was released over the weekend, I included the links where you can get the songs that I featured. Now, what's next? Oh, Diva Project. Wow, this is good. Because Diva Project features Lena Park, Saw Yang, and Lee Young Yun from Big Mama. And they released the MV to their track Mermaid. The song is awesome. It's really good to listen to people who can really sing for a change. The single is out as well, so support these little ladies if you can. Yeah, have you heard the song, Dee?
I saw the teaser video, but I didn't hear the song.
It's good, catchy, upbeat, and it's refreshing for a change. People doing dancey music, you know, people who can really sing anyway, so yeah.
From the teaser, you could see that they were really going, I don't know, their vocal abilities were really going to be shown off in the song.
I'm happy with this release. Go grab it. It's good. Okay, now, next piece of news is about Gina, and she's released Top Girl, which is her mini-album. The MV is out as well. Okay, released the MV for Top Girl, but I want to see Banana's MV more than this. Here?
Having seen the English-translated lyrics for Banana, it's really weird that they would decide to ban it, because it's not sexually suggestive at all. Except for, I guess, Swings. Swings
the
describing
banana.
That she's attractive. But no, it's not really about bananas. It's just saying that using the word bananas
crazy.
As a term
banana.
For crazy is just saying that, you know, I'm going to be myself regardless of what you think. Basically, you know, screw you. I'm going to do my thing.
Well, anyway, the album is quite good as I've been listening to it for the past few days. But I gotta say, my favorite track off the album is still Banana. I want to see the MV. It will take a while before they release the MV, I think. Just have a feeling. Okay, the next piece of news here makes me a bit happy because Rebel Jin, you know, my K-hip-hop crush, will be back with a new album on the 31st.
Yeah, sure.
Yay, right? The album is called Go Easy and the track list has been released and is also released You Offended Me, one of the songs in the album, on the 24th. So, well, he released it the full week before the actual album. Unfortunately, I haven't listened to You Offended Me yet. I'm going to listen to it later. I'm pretty sure it's good, because it's Verbal Gin, you know, blah blah. Now, more hip-hop news, because Lee Sang has finally released their 7th album, as to Rebel Belta, and this release makes me really happy. I like the fact that it's doing well, And it's also been announced that Lee Sang will have their first solo concert starting November 4th and will run for 4 days straight. The concert will be at AX Korea and tickets have been on sale since the 26th.
I'm sure that they're going to do really well in terms of the concert, especially when you look at the response to the album, which they've been doing very well digitally, and I think the physical copies have been doing well also, because both Gary and Gil are involved with Variety, which means that there are far more people that are familiar with them. And they also yep. do a type of music that's, I guess, very raw in terms of what they're willing to say. So I think that's refreshing to the average consumer of music in Korea. So, you know, congratulations to them that they're after
yes,
all these years of being artists, that they're still doing quite well after seven albums.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's shocking for me anyway that they're only going to have their first solo concert this year. Unbelievable,
well,
right?
It depends on, you know, what they were able to do in terms of money-wise. So,
while other groups have concerts without that many songs, Lee Sang only has a concert after their seventh album. Wow. I'm not going to say it's unfair, but it's a good thing that they finally, you know, decided mm-hmm. on having a concert. So I hope they do well. All right. Now, this one surprised me, okay? UKISS. They're back with Someday, and the song is a cut off their new album called Neverland. The MV isn't out yet, I think. But what's surprising is the fact that I love the song at first listen. Seriously, I love the song. And I mentioned this in the special music episode, which I'm not sure if you listened to the...
No, I have not. Again, I just got internet back yesterday, but I have heard the song.
I said that this song made me like UKISS, honestly.
It took this long? Come on.
Yes, it took this long. It took one song, okay? It took one song. See how things can change? And I was reading the news a while ago. I think it was yesterday or the other day. And who's the member that got cut? Alexander and
yes.
Kibum, right? Alexander tweeted the members, like, congratulations and good luck. But he left out the two new members.
Yeah, I'm not sure what he meant by that, unless it was just saying, you know, that the majority of the 3 years together was these seven guys, with the exception of Kisup, who came in a lot later. But I don't necessarily think it's as fans are, you know, assuming that he left out.
He's
yeah,
bitter.
But I think it's just really that. Sure, AJ was always
he
in the same company, but he doesn't know AJ as a member of UKISS. So,
yeah.
And then Hoon is new. So, I just chose myself to interpret it that way, because I would hate to think that he's being a douchebag over the whole thing.
Hey, you know what? If I got cut, I'd be bitter too. Being honest, right? I'd be bitter too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to pretend that I'm happy for them because, hey, I got cut. I'm not going to wish you good luck. Screw it. You know, I'm just going to wish the other members good luck. You could fail for all I care.
But
that's me.
If they fail, then the whole group fails together.
There you go. But that's just me, okay? So, if he's bitter, he has all the right to be bitter. But he has a new music company now, right? So, you know, I hope he makes new music soon.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, what's the name of UKISS's company? Brand New...
No, that's not them.
NH Media?
Yes, that's the group.
NH Media made the right decision in getting the two new guys in the group.
I think it's...
Like, music-wise, it's improved.
It's not just adding them, but it's also whoever does the production for them now.
Yes.
Saying that that's also
yes.
What's making them appear to be better. Because previously to Kibum and Alexander leaving, they didn't really do songs like, I guess...
Someday.
Someday, and I don't know if you just pronounce that as 0330, or however it's pronounced. Korean.
Oh, that song, yeah.
But those are the two songs that started to get people into UKISS that were, you know, outside of the original fans.
Mm-hmm.
But it's good. There's been an overall change in musical direction for the group.
Mm-hmm.
And even though a lot of people are still upset about, especially the way that Kibum and Alexander were taken out of the group, but it's hard to deny that in terms of the maturity of the sound, that UKISS isn't doing better now.
And yeah, I love the song. So, Kiss Me, good job. Converted? Not really, but I like them now. I'm not going to call myself a fan yet. We'll see when the album drops. Maybe it's just one song. But, you know, it's enough for me to like them. So anyway, September 1 is when the album will be released. So Kiss Me, be happy. All right, now, comebacks. Well, finally, we get confirmation about the Wonder Girls and their Korean comeback. Wonder Girls will be back in November with a new Korean album, and right now, apparently, they're still filming for their Team Nick movie, or mini-movie, mini-series, whatever you want to call that.
I'm not sure what it is. I sometimes think when they talk about it, it seems like it's a series. Sometimes it seems like it's a TV movie. I'm not entirely sure, but, you know, good for them that they're going to get on American TV. I don't know how well that's going to work out because most of the members have not acted. I know Sohee has, but... And then when you look at it, not all of them have, you know, the amazing command of the English language. So there's that too. When you're acting and you don't have the greatest control of the English language, it's very hard to convey the emotions of the character properly. Sometimes the performance can come off as wooden, even though the person may be a very talented actor or actress. It's just that the language barrier presents a difficulty. The way they sound is always going to seem like robotic, and what makes it worse is when they're pronouncing words phonetically. So I watched Sukiyaki Western Django, which is a movie by Takashi Miike. And he, instead of filming, you know, the movie in Japanese, which is the language that almost every actor in the show spoke, in the movie spoke, filmed in English. And it was very difficult at first. Like, when they within the first, I don't know, 20 minutes, a half an hour of the movie, it's very hard to understand them. And then as it goes on and you get used to the way they're speaking English, it becomes easier. Not necessarily fine, but it becomes easier to pick up on what they're saying. But it made the performances really weird.
Maybe that was his goal, right?
Probably.
To give you a very hard time.
He's a weird guy.
I know. Have you seen Audition? Is that his movie?
I've never seen that. Like, some of his movies I will not watch.
Shit. Oy. Ay, ay, ay.
But he is the guy that made Ichi the Killer, so.
Yeah. Creepy. Seen that movie and I was like, ugh, why did I watch this movie in the first place? Anyway, sidetrack.
He is a good director.
But it's creepy. Like, some movies are just way out there. You have to be ready for that if you want to watch this movie somewhere. So, you guys, if you want to watch Takashi Miike's movies, be warned, okay? We warned you.
His newer movies are a lot different from the older ones. It's a lot less hardcore, I guess would be the way to say it. I guess there's still somewhat similar levels of violence, but the gore is greatly reduced, put it like this.
He's kind of like Park Chan-woo. Very good director, though. So, yeah. Okay, now, just to wrap the Wonder Girls news up, they will be dropping their Korean album in November, but their US album, however, will be released next year, as it will be a soundtrack album for their movie. My usual complaint, just give me the damn album, okay? Stop delaying. I want their US album.
All of the other stuff has got to happen in between, unfortunately. And again, it's not really up to... Especially if they have an album deal with a major American label. It's not up to JYP in terms of when the album is going to be released. It's always up to the actual record label when they're going to release the album. Like, what happens too sometimes is people have albums recorded and the company decides, okay, we're not going to release this. And usually that's the end of the story. You have to record a new album if you want to get it released. But a recent example is Lupe Fiasco's last album, Lasers. I think Atlantic Records is his company. They were not going to release the album, and there was a fan movement in order to push Atlantic to release the album. But you know, there's all sorts of things going on behind the scenes, and all we think about is, you know, the frequency of releases that happens in Korea, because in order to stay relevant, you almost have to constantly be releasing music. And the Wonder Girls have been mostly absent since really the height of popularity of Nobody. They came back for 3 weeks last year to promote Two Different Tears. But other than that, you know, in terms of releasing music, there's been nothing.
Because they're focusing on the US market. That's it. I feel sorry for their fans in Korea. Anything by the Wonder Girls would make them happy. At least they're getting the Wonder Girls back. So, yeah. Just for a few weeks, because according to, you know, what I read, after promoting, they will be promoting the movie because filming will wrap around October, and then by December they have to go back to the US. So what, they'll get 3 weeks at most, probably. Next comeback, major comeback anyway, is Kara, and they will be back with their third Korean album on September 6th. Their comeback is titled, comeback track anyway, is titled Step. Yeah, comeback track is titled Step. And it's produced by the same people who produced Honey, Mr. Lupin, and Pretty Girl, Sweet Tune,
I
the
only like
cutesy
two of those
songs.
songs, Mr. and Lupin, but I'm sure that they will make a song that Kara fans love, so.
Yep. Yeah, I like Mr. and I like Pretty Girl. So, yeah, prepare yourself for K-pop sweetness, my friend. If you are to go by the previous tracks produced by the duo behind Sweet Tune, you know what to expect. And I've seen the teaser. I've seen the teaser. Baby blue background looks like ice cream to me. It's too cute. Not cutesy, but it's too sweet for my taste. Okay, moving on. For debuts now, a new girl group will be unleashed next month. Oh my god, unleashed to the poor public. The group is called April Kiss. And it's said that they have a 2 p.m. performance style, so they're marketing themselves as the female version of 2 p.m. What? Okay.
Why are you saying that like it's a bad thing?
Well, okay. If they're the female version of 2 p.m., I want them to do somersaults on stage, and you know, should they take their tops
You
off
know
too?
that that's impossible.
There you go. That's a bad thing, because they won't be doing that.
Well, 2 p.m. doesn't really do somersaults on stage anymore either.
Well, that's what I remember them for,
Yeah,
like when
but
they first
then the guy
started.
that could do somersaults and all that stuff on stage left, so they cut down on the amount of acrobatic.
Well, after cutting down on the acrobatics, they moved on to showing their chest. So, what else? Okay, I'm gonna expect some chest action here. But anyway, the facts. They're from Andy Brothers Agency. Who are they? Do you know them?
No.
Heard of them? Nope. Okay. And the group is made up of six members, and they are tall, have long legs, and are highly talented in the areas of dancing,
We'll
singing, and
see.
rapping. This is according to their agency, so we'll see. Now, I've seen the new teaser, because apparently there's an old teaser that was out in 2010. I haven't seen the old teaser because someone took it off YouTube. Maybe it's their management company because people were dissing the group. Apparently it was that bad. No talent whatsoever. From the comments anyway. So they replaced the old teaser with a new one, and the new teaser sounds good. You know, it looks interesting. And you know what's interesting? Very interesting, in fact, is the fact that there is, it looks like to me anyway, a Caucasian girl. Not half, okay? She looks like she's full Caucasian. We'll see. Anyway, the group will debut soon, and let's see. I don't have a date, but next month. So good luck, girls. Now, last bit of news for debuts is Beastie Boys and their vocal trio. They debuted with a song called "We Will Be Okay," which features Gina. So they're a vocal trio, and yeah, they can sing.
He
Song is
sounds
not bad.
so not excited. Like,
Really excited, but the song's good. Good because we get a lot of groups weekly, so we have to cut out the leaf from the chaff. This is my process of cutting out the leaf from the chaff. Sorry if I'm not excited, but they're very good, quite good at singing. We'll see what else they have to offer. Yeah, the MV is out for the song as well, so go check it out. And I feature the song too in the special music episode. Not bad. Okay, I think we're done with the reviews and releases comeback. Now it's Ben Hammer News. Actually, yeah. You know what? I don't want to discuss Ben Hammer News because it's the same
Really?
shit. But what I want to discuss is the fact that SM won because they sued the Ministry of Gender and Equality and Family for SM The Ballad Song Tomorrow, and they won. This was a long time ago. Since when did they release the song? January? February? So yeah, song was banned for, I think, reference to alcohol. And this is the first time I think that someone won. I
I'm not
think okay on the
necessarily sure
basis
that
of
someone
drunkenness.
sued before. I think people have protested it. That usually doesn't go well. So most people just, redo the song or add the label or whatever. But I saw an article today, actually a couple hours ago, about the Ministry of Family and Gender Equality. I think that's the name of the ministry, and that they're gonna do a bit of rebranding. They're gonna Yeah, they're gonna hand off the responsibility for reviewing and banning songs, I think, to a private company, which is supposed to ensure that the whole process is vetted better. And I think as well they're gonna add a under 12 label, I guess, to signify that, these songs are okay for people 12 and under. And these songs, see, I mean, like, I don't know. I'm so used to the parental advisory explicit content sticker that it doesn't bother me. Like, I use that to determine whether or not this is the best version of the album.
Or not.
Like,
Yeah.
if I see a rap album and I don't see the explicit content sticker, there's no way in hell I'm buying it. Like, it worries me when I get a rap album and it doesn't have that sticker on it. So I use that as the standard of quality, and I think over time it's gonna end up being the same thing.
Yeah, I understand. Okay, because you had to express yourself freely anyway. But yeah, just today, Cube Entertainment also filed a complaint regarding the banning of the song "Rainy Days." I hope they win because it's about drunkenness too. And I hope that K-pop gets clear-cut rules on what is offensive and harmful to the youth as well. Because you have to admit, some of the reasons for banning is just ridiculous. So I hope they clean their act up with this new company that they've outsourced their duties to. Whatever you want to call that. They're going to get a third company. Like, I hope it works for them. I'm sure they have taken a lot of flack.
I'm sure they get hate mail all the time.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm sure SM Entertainment and like YG and all the big agencies are too happy with them. You get corrects probably. Okay, now, this is the best news of the past week. I'm not sure if this was last week, okay, or 2 weeks ago, but I'm pretty sure we featured this in the website. Lee Min Ho and Park Min Young are confirmed to be dating. Yay, yay, yay.
Oh, were they confirmed? Confirmed? Because the last thing I
Yes.
read before the hurricane was his company saying,
They're denying it?
that we've never heard about this. I don't know what you're talking about. These guys are friends.
No.
They don't have time for a relationship.
They sort of confirmed early in the morning. They denied in the middle of the day and by the afternoon. They confirmed. Because, they're just careful with their statements and they refuted that the two are passionately in love. Hey, they're dating, but they're not passionately in love,
Sure, okay.
okay? Yeah, because they're just getting to know each other. Okay. Well, congratulations. I love, love, love couples in, Korean entertainment because it's very rare for these people to come out and they're open and admit the relationship.
now, if I recall correctly, they were the leads in City Hunter, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep, that's right. I'm sure a lot of people have been shipping them in the drama. So, people, City Hunter fans, your ship is awesome. All right, now I think we need to take a very quick break before we start free talk. We'll be back. Now we're back with Free Talk, and this week's Free Talk came from an article in Tsumpi, and it's about the anti-Hallyu protest in Japan, wherein 6,000 people participated against Fuji TV at Umikita-Futu Park in Odaiba, and then they proceeded to Fuji TV's headquarters. The people are protesting over the fact that Hallyu is forced down their throats by the network, and I think this started with Takaoka Susuke, right? Susuke.
Sosuke.
Yeah. This all started because of that. Do note, okay, please do note, however, that this protest is against Fuji TV's bias reports and how they're pushing Hallyu. And it's not a claim of anti-Korean sentiments or hate towards Korea. There, I'll just paraphrase the quote. Honestly, I am not surprised that a lot of people would be protesting because from what I know, okay, they really get a lot of Korean content in future TV. And for some people, it may seem like it's being forced on them.
Mm-hmm.
Not just music, okay, but dramas as well. And one thing, though, is, you know, the way they call DBSK cockroaches and the woman from Winter Sonata, Choi Ji-woo. Choi Ji-woo. They said something like, how can she be wearing a high school student's uniform when she looks like she's 30? It's insulting. It is insulting for them, but they were clear in the fact that they are not anti-Koreans, but they're just anti-Fuji TV. I would be understanding in this situation because it's their country. First and foremost, it's their country. A lot of people have been saying that, hey, if you don't like Hallyu on that channel, you can always change the channel, right? Go watch another program. Honestly, it's not that. I think they're missing the point here. They're not too happy with how things are going.
And two, there's the added issue of people who have been upset with Fuji TV over the coverage of the earthquake and the continuing nuclear disaster, really.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently in the times when Fuji TV should have been covering what was going on, they seem to have contributed to the government's and TEPCO as well attempt to cover things up.
Yep, TEPCO.
And in doing that, they've been showing, they've been focusing on K-dramas and showing all the K-pop things and stuff like that. So some of it, and there's of course no denying the historical context to it. There's no denying the fact that there are tensions between the two countries, but it also too has to do with people's frustrations towards the way Fuji TV is managed and the way that it's been hiding things from the populace. And again, this is 6,000 people out of a country of, I think, 100 million or so. Mm-hmm. So it is a sizable amount of people, but when compared to the overall population, it's not a lot of people.
That's right.
But there's nothing saying that there aren't more people that feel this way, but perhaps they don't feel passionately enough to protest. And I think, if I remember correctly, that protesting is not a typical Japanese thing to do.
No. It's not.
So the fact that 6,000 people have shown up for something like this is kind of a big deal.
It is. It is a big deal. And I really thought that Korean news outlets would ignore this. Or maybe places like Soompi or All K-Pop. I'm not sure if All K-Pop feature this. All I know is that Soompi and Korea Boom wrote something about this. All K-Pop, I didn't really see it. For me, if you really want to report in an unbiased manner, you should also include this. Because Hallyu is just not being popular. Hallyu is just not... It's not just about the success. Okay? It's not just one-sided.
And I think part of the problem with the coverage of this whole situation is that a lot of us are coming at it from a love of K-pop or from a love of Korean dramas or Korean culture in general. So you're going to kind of look at it as it's being widely accepted in so many countries. Like, why? You rarely see any negative sentiment towards Hallyu, and that's not saying that it's not there in these other Asian countries. Where, you know, maybe 10 years ago, you'd see their own artists everywhere, and now, today, you know, you can't go out shopping without hearing K-pop, or you flip on your local MTV, and there are Korean music videos on there. So, they're saying that everyone has to sort of deal with this, whether you like K-pop or not.
Mm-hmm.
For the people who love K-pop, it's a great thing to see all this stuff everywhere, and you're proud to see your favorite artist sort of move your country in this way. But at the same time, you have to look at it as there are also people that are completely ignorant of K-pop. Like, it's sort of hard to think about that. But there are people that you know, that aren't going to look at it the same way you do, and that aren't going to necessarily like the fact that the Korean wave is kind of infringing on what they're able to do as local artists. And of course, in this protest, they were, looking at the picture here, I do see the Japanese imperial flag. And yeah. That's wow. not such a good thing in historical context that implies that
that's right.
there was some racial, some superiority sentiment involved with mm-hmm. at least, you know, those people who thought to bring the imperial flag with them. And there were apparently some shouts that involved, you know, the emperor and whatnot. So yeah. That kind of harkens back to the World War II era. And, mm-hmm. you know, that's not the image that you want to be giving off in this situation.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Because that just makes it worse when Korean people are going to look at it later. And it's going to make it seem like a racially charged sentiment, you know, regardless of what they actually say. But one thing you have to keep in mind is that in a crowd of 6,000, and really this could happen in a crowd of 6, but there is going to be, you know, overall sentiment that the people who organize the event feel. And that may be, you know, the statement that the protest was against Fuji TV and against, you know, what they've been doing to deceive the populace and against their seeing preference of Korean dramas and stuff like that. But, you know, as you have the crowd increase, there also are people that are going to come in that are protesting just because they don't like Korea. And
yes,
you really have no control over the other people that show up. The most you can do is kind of self-police and have those people removed. But again, if you have a situation like we said, where in Japan protesting is not common at all, especially, you know, in large numbers, you're probably taking whoever you can get and hoping that none of these people speak to the media.
That's what you think, right? You know,
mm-hmm.
that's what you think, because sometimes they do speak to the media. And actually, the organizer was surprised that, you know, they were able to gather 6,000 people, because it initially started with about 2,500 people. And, you know, they were shouting, "Stop the hell, you." What the hell, right? It's, mm-hmm. it's, stop the hell, you. Fine, stop the hell, you. But, of course, there was the anti-Korean sentiment mix there. You can't really stop that. I mean, people would use protests like this to, you know, to voice out their own opinions as well, especially if they think that this is a matter of culture. Because, remember, mm-hmm. Japan and Korea have this very, very long history. And I've always wondered how Korea could export their music. Or, in fact, we all know what happened in the past. It's
yeah.
like, you know, screw what happened. It's all about the money. We don't really care. And that's how I see it. I'm not going to say that it's disrespectful, but sometimes they're just too insensitive, I think.
And we have mentioned it before that the Japanese, as a group, I think it's known that they're very proud of
yes.
their culture and their history and stuff
that's
like that.
Right.
And you're coming into a market that they do accept singers who perform in other languages, but if you're appearing constantly on their TV shows and stuff like that, you should be making a huge emphasis on, you know, attempting to learn the language. And of course it's a fine line with Korea and Japan.
That's
because
right.
if a Korean artist is seen to be, I guess, too Japanese would be a way to say it. If it seems like they're adopting the culture too much, then they're criticized in their home country and stuff like
mm-hmm.
that. So,
you know, what irks me is the fact that people have been saying, but what about, you know, Western artists like Lady Gaga, Avril Lavigne, and just people from the U.S. market? They don't really care. Like, people don't protest about them. It's a different situation. Like, honestly, okay? It is a different situation. Because these are Western artists. They don't attempt to, I don't know how to explain it, okay? But they promote globally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the thing with Korea is that they don't really promote globally. They want to make a new market in Japan. And that's how it is. That's probably why there are protests against them and not, you know, protests against Lady Gaga or what have you. That's the main difference. And, of course, it all boils down to history. Whether you like it or not, it's always going to be there. Now, I think Korea should probably rethink their strategy of Hallyu in Japan, or maybe just their approach. It doesn't hurt to get to know the culture and the language well, right? It doesn't hurt. Because look at all the news that we're getting, like so-and-so group is going to debut in Japan, and look at that. How many groups are you sending to Japan? All of your groups.
Yeah,
almost everyone.
A part of the problem, too, is that before you had artists that would prepare for years and years before
yes.
they go, before they would go into Japan, and they would make sure that they had a certain level of competency in the Japanese language before they move on.
Yep.
But now it seems like they're adopting sort of the American mindset when they don't really have the fan base, for example, to be able to adopt that sort of mindset. Because again, when American and even European artists go to Japan, they're breezing through the country. You know, they're having a concert or two and, you know, they're gone. Whereas you're trying to have a career in Japan where you're releasing music in that language and you can't speak it fluently at all, which
is a problem.
Is sort of messed up. And yeah, I guess it's okay if you learn the basics and you're getting better over time. But when it seems like, hey, you've been around for a few years and you don't know Japanese at all, it's kind of weird. And then the way they're setting up groups now is that they're trying to involve a trainee that already knows Japanese
yep.
or that already knows Chinese, and you're using that one person as your face in that particular market.
Person.
Yeah.
That's how it works for them. Honestly, this is a loose situation for both countries anyway.
Mm-hmm.
They need to resolve their issues first, really. Then that will take a while, maybe never. We don't know, right? You know, things like this are going to keep on happening. It's not going to end. This is not the end of things. Trust me. You'll see more. Because, first of all, you know, this protest isn't a typical Japanese behavior. They don't really protest like this. It's surprising. And
mm-hmm.
6,000 people have the guts to do this. What about next year or maybe next month? You never know how many people they can get to join their cause. Because I'm pretty sure some people will be fed up.
There are going to be the people that feel that way. And there was in an interview, I don't know if it's in this particular article. It was what a Japanese professor said, you know, basically ignoring the part he said about the neo-Japanese nationalists. But he says the best way for Korea to react to this is to not
ignore.
Do anything. Because mm-hmm. when you don't give people the fuel that they need to continue, eventually they lose interest and they move on.
That's right.
And if this is just a hate based thing, you know, they are gonna move on because it's gonna go to the next big target. And mm-hmm. I think a part of what makes this significant is that it really was started as a protest just against Fuji TV. It's not. It's not directed against Hallyu in general, and I think
that's
what a lot of people are glossing over when they read this, and they do say that, you know, just change the channel thing, but Fuji TV, again, is a very popular network, and I even read a response that said it's not as though Fuji TV is behaving like Fox News, where they're propagating lies or whatever, but the way you have to look at it, too, is that Japan has a very vibrant sort of TV and movie community.
Yes.
And the like I said, when we were talking about Sosuke Takaoka in the beginning, and even though I know that his rant wasn't necessarily directed towards this, but it is an interesting issue to consider. A network like Fuji TV that makes a lot of dramas every year, the time slots that they use to show K-dramas really are time slots that a new drama would be used to air, and it's not like American TV where the dramas go on, or the TV shows go on for 26 or more episodes, or even like Korea where the average, I think, episode length for a drama is 16
to 20.
Typically, the dramas
are very short.
have 12 week series, and again, a person may only work in one drama for that year. And when you consider you have worked for 12 weeks out of 52, if they're reducing the amount of original dramas made, that's a very serious position for and for an actor to be involved in. So,
see, you always watch new dramas, right? I haven't been watching lately, maybe since last year. You know that. And you know how they announce their new releases for the season, right? Have you noticed a significant drop in Fuji TV releases?
Not Fuji TV in particular, because again, I was not aware of this issue even occurring, so I have not really been keeping track of, say, how many dramas one network orders compared to another. And it may be entirely possible that Fuji TV has the money to, you know, to keep ordering the same amount of dramas, and maybe they'll just be more in the midnight time slot than there usually are, or maybe the K-drama time slot is just one or two days out of the week. I don't know how they work it, because, you know, I don't have Japanese TV, so I can't really tell how that works specifically. But, you know, we'll see if this sentiment, you know, goes on, I guess, would be the way to say it.
Yeah, keep an eye on it. Because, you know, it's not going to be a surprise if this goes on with the way Hallyu is being marketed right now. And it's a good thing to be aware of things like this as well, because sometimes, you know, you talk about Hallyu this, Hallyu that, Hallyu taking over the world, and you just don't know that you're pissing someone off. It's really a good thing to be aware of things like this, because you know how Korean media exaggerates. And most of the time, they only report the good things and then gloss it over a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's nice to hear. Not this situation isn't nice, but it's very enlightening to hear about the other side as well. You know, because you only see reports of K-pop doing well in Europe, K-pop invading so-and-so country. Invading is not a nice word, honestly. Maybe getting popular, right? But the way they phrase it is like invading.
Like, the way you kind of have to look at it is that Korean news sources in particular, and I don't know if this is because of some other issue going on in Korea, but they do like to report in a exaggerated sense, sort of how well Hallyu is doing in all of these other countries. And
maybe it's being nationalistic. It's the pride.
It's a matter of national pride, and, you know, it's okay. It sort of feels sometimes like it's okay when they do it. It's okay when we do it, but it's not okay when they do it. And what you're going to find is that, again, Japan has one of the most open music markets in the world. And a lot of that kind of gets buried, and it's going to be considered unfair because K-pop has, you know, all of this money behind it, and we're not able to see really is the business side of things and what's going on in terms of who determines that this video airs as opposed to that other one. Like, in other countries, it may be a popular movement. It may be that people are demanding that K-pop be shown on music networks, but it feels like in Japan, it's a matter of palms getting greased is the way people seem to phrase it, is that when they join up with big companies like Universal Music Japan, now Universal Music Japan and all of the money they have is now interested in making sure that this artist is seen as popular. So they're going to use their influence to make sure that their music video airs more often, or make sure that they appear on certain programs, or that someone gets a TV series and things like that. And the more people see it happen, the more uncomfortable they're going to be, because there are a ton of underground artists, or even not necessarily underground, but people who aren't idols that previously, you know, they were able to enjoy this level of promotion, and now they may not necessarily be any less popular, but now they're getting less attention than they deserve. And we've already seen this happen in Korea, and why would we want this to happen in another country?
Yeah. You know, Japan's music market is very good. Like, the ratio of idols to, like, solo singers or performers is quite good. 60-40 or something like that, 60 individual or solo performers and about 40% idols. Because the music market is that big, it can accommodate those groups. It can accommodate those other singers and other performers as well. Now, with the influx of all these groups, you're just skewing the balance a bit, the way I see it. You're skewing the balance a bit. And of course, when you skew the balance, one group is bound to suffer. Mm-hmm. Other performers are bound to suffer. So, yeah. Hey, Japan's music market may be big, but is it really that big to accommodate all these idols? Wait, you never know. I don't have an idea, but maybe I'll ask someone who has an idea later. Because I'm seriously interested in the business side of things. I remember the conversation I had with my friend, producer in Japan. He said that right now is the best time to get into Asian music because it's spreading its wings. And it's not just Hallyu. The Asian music market is becoming bigger. Asia is becoming a bigger region in terms of music.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Pan-Asia area. It's not just Korea, mind you. It's the region as a whole. And what's that group? Lush. I'm sure. Uh-huh. Yeah, I've talked about Lush, but not in this episode. Not in any of the episodes. But Lush is a Pan-Asian group. There's a Korean girl, Chinese girl, Japanese girl, Filipino girl, and an Indian girl. And they are produced by a very big person from Disney. He was with Disney before. Uh-huh. But the way they marketed Blush is they got girls who can sing and they got girls from different countries so that they can promote in those countries. Good decision. They got Snoop Dogg in their first single and they hit the Billboard charts without a lot of promotion. That's a different approach to getting popular in the U.S. market. It's a very different approach. And you know what? All the girls can speak English. And that's one thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how the project started because I read about it early this year. It was called Project Lotus. It was sort of like a talent search, but they focused on the real talent first. Because, you know, the U.S. market is very different from what we're used to, if, you know, you're a K-pop fan. Sometimes mm-hmm. it's not about the looks. You really have to bring it. Hey, if you're known to be pretty, fine, but you really have to bring it. Like, if you're a singer, and if you're coming from a different country, and if you're of a different race, you seriously have to be able to sing. Because the U.S. has a lot of artists, you know, struggling to be known in their own country anyway, and struggling to make it in the U.S. as well. So why would you, as, you know, a consumer who's not exposed to, you know, different groups or different artists from other countries, why would you want to pay attention to someone who is of a different race, right?
Right.
Not unless this person is really talented and can sing, or not unless this person has something special.
I mean, you do see in the U.S. market, and I do kind of like to point this out when people say, you know, the U.S. market is biased against foreigners in general.
No.
You do see, you have seen in the past few years Hispanic artists. You have seen European artists and British artists in particular. Not necessarily that they are, you know, overwhelmingly successful, but dating back to really the Beatles, there have been big British acts that have come over and have enjoyed, you know, a level of success in the country. And really what it does come down to is being able to continuously make good music. Once you get that initial promotion, because, you know, what happens is really you need to get a major label deal. If you're unable to get that, you will not really be able to see the level of promotion that's needed in order to become a big artist. And what happens when you have the language barrier is that it's unlikely that people are willing to take that chance on you. But if you prove that you are very talented and that you can sing in English, if you could get the attention of a major label, it's altogether possible that people will listen to you. They don't particularly care what you look like, because, for yeah. example, and it's going to sound messed up, but we have not been concerned as much with beauty as people seem to think we are. in terms of the Western and particularly the American mindset. Beauty matters if you're not talented. If you are,
Exactly. That is so true.
if you are, people are able to ignore the fact that you aren't the best looking person, because there have been a significant amount of singers that are overweight, that have
A
been
lot, me a lot.
there have been a significant amount of, for example, rappers that are very, very unattractive. But again, the standard for males versus females is different. A lot of the time, a female is required to be attractive, but there's nothing in the world saying that Americans don't find Asians attractive. I think that's just complete bullshit. Oh, well, Asian females anyway.
Yeah.
I will not say Asian males because that's an entirely different matter.
Remember
But
yellow fever, right?
yeah, that has been there at least since the Korean and Vietnamese wars, if not before that. But it's just you have to, I think you have to temper it with respect. And I think the problem, getting back to the original issue, the problem in Japan is that instead of it being a few artists, you're trying to dump a truckload on them all at
Yes,
once,
there you
and
go.
eventually it's going to get to the point where more and more people, can't take it anymore. I understand, there's money in K-pop, there's money in K-dramas. For example, Japanese dramas, for the most part, are not exported outside of the country, and it is sort of weird. Because when you look at how well the bubble kind of has burst now, but when you look at how well Japanese anime were doing outside of the country, say 10 years ago, it was very close to a $1 billion industry, and now it's not nearly at that level. A lot of localization companies have folded and stuff like that in the interim, sort of. Because of the recession and certain other factors, including people were not buying as much as they were before. But it has always struck me as weird that Korean dramas make so much money when it comes to export that they get licensed for release in America, and nothing really happens with Japanese TV. And you would think that, if the US has had, a love affair with anybody's TV programming in Asia, that it has been Japan. And it, I don't know if it's a Japanese mindset. I don't know if it's just the audience isn't there. I'm not sure because there have been some things kind of said about just the way they handle anime in general, that they seem to think that the property that they have, sort of no matter what it is worth more money than it's actually worth. So
Really?
that results in sort of the US companies taking a loss initially, because they have to overpay for a lot of things if they want them. And then, the problem is that it's no longer possible for you to move as much physical copies of a TV show as you used to be able to. People are now, I mean, people would always pirate, but people are now more likely to not pay for something.
People are smarter.
In order for you to convince me that I need to spend, upwards of $30 on your DVDs, on your DVDs or your Blu-rays, is you have to put all of these features on them. It's just not feasible because, the Americans aren't the original creators, so they're not going to have all these bonuses. And then when you look at it, that the Japanese DVDs themselves don't ship with the bonuses that American audiences want. Because, for example, if you pick up an American TV show's season DVD, you could get commentary on almost every episode. You could get behind the scenes stuff. You could get storyboards, both for TV shows and for cartoons. There are storyboards on the DVDs, and just the list of bonus features goes on and on. And this is what people are used to. So I could justify spending 50 something dollars on a season set for a particular show to myself, but a anime set, which may be $20 to $30 cheaper, I may not necessarily want to buy because I'm looking at what else comes with this, you know? So. Yeah.
Which reminds me, this is a conversation I had with my boyfriend a while ago, because he's into war games as well, and he buys a lot of those pistols from Japan.
Mm-hmm.
I asked him, why do you spend a lot of money on this? Can't we buy this elsewhere? No, you know, Japan doesn't export. They don't care.
Yeah,
because they know. They don't care. They don't really care. That's what he said.
It's kind of like they make their own, they make the money within the country because, you know, yes. The argument is always said that within Japan, you pay so much more money for Blu-rays and for DVDs and stuff like that, and it has less content than you would get on the equivalent set outside of the Japanese market. But people are willing to spend that money. They may not be happy about it, but,
but they're willing.
They're willing to spend that money. So the people, you know, in control of whatever property are looking at it as, we're making this money at this price, shipping this stuff on the disc or whatever. And until you could kind of give us a better offer, you know, this is what we're going to do. And you're going to have to live with that. And that's the sad reality, is that, you know, mm-hmm. they can direct the market for what they make, and you can't
dictate.
Right. As long as it's popular, they're going to continue to be able to do that. Now, once it turns the other way, and, that, you know, that's the tragic thing with trends, that they always go back. So, you know, attitudes are going to have to change. And what happens, too, with them is that they're for a country that's as technologically advanced as they are, they do not embrace the internet properly. So what happens is I'm able to watch something almost instantly after it airs in Japan. So why would I want to buy something from you? And it's sort of that trend towards, I mean, I still like physical media, but the trend towards digital media is kind of adding an additional problem.
You know, because digital media is a lot more convenient in the first place. And sometimes, or not sometimes, but most of the time, it is cheaper.
And it's usually tax-free, especially import tax.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Because it's not physical. How can you put tax on something that you can't touch, right?
Some countries do. They do still have to pay tax on digital imports.
It's very hard. But yeah, that's the breadth of things. They don't really care. If mm-hmm. you want it, you know, find a way to get it.
Right.
We're not going to give it to you. That's how it is. So he has a hard time importing his guns, his toy guns.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a hard time looking for a cheaper alternative. And apparently, this is what he told me, you can't really buy and take it out of Japan. I'm like, what?
Wow.
What? That sucks. You have to go through a third party and blah, blah, blah. It's very difficult. That's how it works. They don't really care. Because, hey, they're making a lot of money domestically. It doesn't really matter to them. This is the business side of things. And, you know, I understand their logic. You know, it's also a matter of national pride as well for them. That's the way they do business. So, yeah. So, I guess Korea has to learn to treat the Japanese market with more respect. You're right, Dave. It's not just about dumping a whole truckload of these idols and saturating the market. Because one of these days, Japan is going to get sick of this. Definitely. So where are these idols going to go? I guess they're looking at the other music markets now. But other music markets may not be ready.
I think part of the problem, too, is that they can't sustain all of these artists at home. You know,
true.
And that is
the main problem.
That is the biggest issue. Like,
yeah.
Your music market and your buying power is too small to accommodate the amount of artists you have. And what's unfortunate is that there are genres of music that are unable to do what the idols and those in pop music are able to do, which is, you know, get up and go promote in other countries. It's just not feasible for them. They don't have the rich or the powerful music labels behind them, or maybe they perform a style of music that's only really popular in Korea.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't see the other countries around them being all that interested in trot music. So,
Nope.
for example, if you're a trot singer, you know, your home base is pretty much the only place you're gonna make money. So, with idol saturating everything, with the generation of kids that are growing up now being more interested in idol music than in traditional Korean music or in really any other type of genre, you're gonna end up with a problem in terms of, you know, it. And then again, being a musician was never the most stable of jobs,
No.
which is
Being
why.
an artist, is it stable?
Which is why, you know, parents tend to talk children out of it, but you then end up where in a situation where you know the deck is stacked against you from the very beginning.
I'm not sure now. Okay, I guess it would be good if Korea comes up with a regulating body, like just to regulate the number of idols they produce every
And
year. Really, honestly.
I do not fault the companies because, you know, it's really a movement that's sort of out of their control. Like what happens is every kid almost nowadays wants to be a singer. So they're all trying to get into sort of the pre-management companies, into dance schools, into vocal schools and stuff like that. And then, you know, from there they're auditioning en masse all the time to different Korean record labels. And you know, it's not just the one company they're auditioning for. And then when you look at it, as a company, you have to continuously be releasing new artists because really, I mean, signing new trainees because really every 5 years, more or less, you have a turnover where artists leave your company to establish their own companies, and then you have the same thing. Now they're looking for
Mushrooms,
trainees,
right? Mushroom
and
effect.
you have to really compete, and you have to grab the best trainees of the batch before your competitor does, and then you have to add to what's going on within Korea to, you know, the effect of the Hallyu wave in other countries, which is now these people who live outside of the country also want to be singers in Korea. So
Yeah.
you're holding auditions worldwide, and now you're bringing these other people into your country as trainees, and you're only adding to the problem because it's not like Korea is suddenly having a whole extra 50 million people to buy the music. It's still
True.
only the original set. So, and you know, inevitably they're going to be the people that aren't interested in pop music at all. So you can eliminate them automatically from the buying public. And you know, the problem just ends up getting to the point where, okay, now we have to export these artists because if, for example, oh God, what's the name of the company? SM. If they want to promote FX and Shiny this year, right? They can't afford for Super Junior, or for example, they can't afford for Dongbae Shinki and Sun Yeshide not to be making money. So they have to be
True.
promoting somewhere. But if they're promoting in Korea, there's only 12 months in the year. So inevitably, they're going to be conflicting with the sales for Shiny and FX. They're going to
That's right.
overshadow them and stuff like that. So you have to have
That's
them
right.
somewhere else making money.
Yeah, you have to segment your market properly, is what you mean. That's how you should do it. That's why they go to different places. This is all because of the Korean promotion cycle, and this is because of the music industry. So I really think, okay, I stand by my ground. Like, there should be a regulating body on the number of idols that, you know, comes out every year. Idols, okay? Not singers, but idols. And maybe from the very beginning, they should just look for talented people. Like, really seriously talented who can perform.
You can't, like, you can't, I don't think you can limit yourself to only talented people because, again, you can teach someone to sing, you can teach someone to dance. They might not be, you
The
know, the
best.
best, but they are more than good enough. And if and I'm not, again, I'm not a music producer, so I don't know specifically what to look for in a person, but if you eliminate people based solely on the amount of talent that they have when they audition, I don't think the majority of idols would exist, including people you love probably, because I've seen a lot of audition tapes and a lot of those kids could not sing.
I know. That's the sad part.
There were occasionally people that, you know, no matter what company they went to, they would have been accepted. Of course, there may have been other issues, like they're not attractive enough or whatever. But
he can fix that.
But they could, you know, they can handle themselves vocally. But people like Heechul, for example, if you were using that standard,
he would, yikes,
he would have never been picked up by anybody. But
yes,
you can do things to help people, and I think what they look at is not necessarily what stage that person is at now, but what they look at is, you know, their drive, their passion, and where you think they will be by the time they debut. Because someone may have all the talent in the world, right? But you throw one little bit of adversity against them and they quit.
True.
So you may have, you know, like, the people, you look at the people who are incredibly commercially successful, not necessarily, and of course have longevity in the music industry, not necessarily all that talented, but they have their passion, or they have,
they are very good entertainers,
or they're workaholics, actually, or whatever, and they will not give up on something, or if they get criticism, they will work incessantly to fix it rather than to say that the critic themselves is an idiot, or that they're only criticizing because they're jealous or whatever, or things like that. Like, those sort of people are the people that endure. And when a, you know, 12 to 15 year old shows up in front of you to audition, you don't know that they're that kind of person. So
true.
Honestly, I have a lot of respect for the people that pick trainees, or the ones that...
I don't think it's an easy job.
The ones that pick good trainees anyway, because, again, there are probably upwards of 5,000 or 6,000 people that get in every year, but obviously that amount of people don't debut. So I think the intensive and the difficult training process is a sort of weeding out system. And really, you know, at the time that the person debuts, it is a big deal. It is an accomplishment. And then, of course, if they are in a successful group after that, you know, you can't help but feel good for them. But, you know, they're also a part of the problem. So.
Catch. Oh, what's that situation?
20.
Yeah. Catch 21?
Mm-hmm.
There you go. You know, they look for potential. And I should know, because when... Oh, goodness me. This is the real me coming out. Whenever I hire someone, I don't look at how they are, but I look at the potential. I have to be very honest.
My least favorite question in job interviews is, where do you see yourself 5 years from now? Because I'm like...
Oh, man.
What the hell?
5 years from now?
I don't know where I will be tomorrow. I'm at a job interview. How do you expect me to know? I mean, there are people, and honestly... props to those people that have their lives planned out, that know where they want to be, who they want to be, what they want to be, and that have known for a long time. But I think the majority of people are not like that. So that question is very, very difficult.
Very difficult. The way I handled it, okay, because I was asked that question. If I remember it right, I said that 5 years from now, I don't know where I would be, but I'm pretty sure I'd have a lot of money. It's really about the money. Hey, I got the job. Doesn't really matter. I think they like me for my honesty. But for me, the way I hire, it's like picking idols too. You don't look at the person who has all the skills. Because, of course, I will train you. You know, my team will train you. But I look for the attitude first and foremost. And you have to be willing to learn.
That is like
potential.
Like what I've explained about JYP's process, because that in particular was criticized, and they've said that they go for the attitude, not necessarily the talent or the looks, and what really fits with the company. Because at the end of the day, you know, that's what you have to look at, that you have to work with these people, and if you're hiring them, you're responsible for them. So if they end up being a negative influence on the people that are already there, or, you know, worse, if they're never able to keep up with the work that you have them doing, now you've taken on a burden instead of taking on an asset.
Yes.
So,
you know what? This is the thing about hiring people. You hire people who will make your life easier, not people who will make your life harder. And I just interviewed someone not quite a while ago. I think it was about 2 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
He was the best in everything. Like, you know, he was very skilled, very good.
Mm-hmm.
Very good conversation skills, but he was an asshole. Why would I hire an asshole? Like, what the fuck? No.
See, but, like, if... And I would honestly be the worst boss, because I would just hire someone like that I know is gonna be good for the company, except he's gonna be poisonous in terms of people to people relationships.
Oh my god, no!
I would have hired that person and then made him someone else's responsibility.
I wish I could do that. I didn't hire him because he was an asshole, and you know. It was so hard for him to accept his areas of improvement.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't able to identify that. I'm like, wow, you're perfect? Unbelievable. Hey, I'm not perfect. But he said, no, I'm the best. Uh-huh.
See, that happens a lot with people that are overly skilled or very talented, is that they are really, in terms of work ability, they are the best. So, you know, if the problem comes down to a personality issue, it's going to be seen as, you know, kind of stupid. Like, you, despite everything I could do for this company, you wouldn't hire me just because I'm kind of a dick. And a lot of the times, people that are very skilled are arrogant naturally. So you aren't going to sort of realize how bad you're being unless someone is able to, for example, show you that...
Yeah, I did that.
You know, do you realize that this is what you've been doing and this is what you've been saying? And I think a lot of the time, yeah, people like that do need to be shown themselves on video so that they can't, they, you know, you can't deny that what they're seeing is true.
That's true, because this is what I did with a guy. Apparently, he took it very hard. He took my rejection very hard. So, you know, me being the nice person that I am, because I'm a very good leader. That's what I think, okay?
Okay.
Screw people who don't think that way.
You're just as bad as him. But go ahead.
Nah. But apparently, he's been turned down for other promotions as well. This was his fifth interview, and he had no idea why he was getting turned down. I'm like, you had no idea? I think it's time to talk. Like, you know, this is what his boss told me, okay? No one gave him feedback. No one gave him feedback. So I'm like, you know, I need you to learn something. This is a lesson in humility. So I pulled him out. I talked to him. We talked for 3 hours. See, that's so nice of me. It was a lesson in humility for him. He was like, honestly, I thought I got the job, and I was even telling the people around me that, hey, I got the job.
This is a within company interview. Okay.
Yeah. So you were telling people that, and I haven't even announced anything.
It's like, sometimes you feel like you've done really well in the interview, and like you said, especially if you're really talented and you're confident,
he's very talented and
confident in your ability. You know, it doesn't make sense that you would be passed over for promotions. This is, you know, a part of the problem with promotions, and we're way off track, is that the personality really factors in, and how well you're able to lead and motivate people that are beneath you. And people don't respond well to assholes. I don't. I mean,
I'm the only asshole, okay? That's how it's supposed to be. I am the only asshole there. If you're more of an asshole than me, no way. You're going to be a problem, right? There's only room for one bitch, and that's me. Okay, remember that.
So what you do is you transfer him out of your department at the earliest possible convenience.
I wish I could do that, because once you're in my department, people never leave, and I can't even transfer them. Maybe if we're overstaffed, yeah, but that's impossible, because I keep my numbers very tight. You know, I'm good at that. But you know what? I spoke with him for 3 hours, and he was very honest with me, like I said anyway. I didn't pick you because, you know, you were an asshole, or you are an asshole.
Is this in the interview or just in general?
No, after. This is feedback.
No, I mean, if, like, he was an asshole in the interview, or if he's an asshole, like, in general.
I kind of know the person, so I knew he was an asshole in general.
Oh, okay.
But if you're an asshole in the interview, I would get information from other people about you. Because if I know you're skilled, or maybe you just screwed up that one interview, hey, I'd probably give you another chance. I'm not that bad, okay? So I gave him feedback. So, you know, I told people that I got the job. And then you announced that, you know, so-and-so got the job. I felt so stupid. Uh-huh. So you should feel stupid, right? This is a lesson in humility, okay? You have to learn to realize what your areas of improvement are. How can I coach you if you don't know what you did, okay? If you cannot accept criticism, and if you cannot accept others' opinions, and if you don't listen to people, that's not going to fly, dude. It's not going to work. So now you know, okay, whenever you're applying for a promotion or whenever you're applying for a new job, make sure that, you know, you eat a slice of humble pie first, okay? Hello. But it turned out well because apparently, according to his boss, he's behaving a lot better now. He's less of a jerk to everyone. He's a lot nicer now, thanks to me. Because no one ever told him that. And that's the thing. They have no idea. People like Kim, they have no idea. They have no idea that they were behaving that way because no one ever told them. So you should do yourselves a favor and, you know, try to learn about what people think of how you're doing and, like, you know, how your attitude is. So you're right. The attitude really counts and the potential. It's very important. I understand your point because I look at that too. But in K-pop, sometimes I'm just so fed up of people who can't sing. Back to a certain degree, I can accept that. But sometimes I'm just fed up. But hey, they make for good entertainment, so that's fine.
A lot of people feel that way, and especially when it comes to singers in general. Like, we usually expect that singers can sing, and coming from a Western background and knowing, you know, what happened to Milli Vanilli. When they,
oh my god, lip sync.
When, and with K-pop, we've seen less and less of the lip syncing issue. But what happens when you take on these kids really before they're able to sing, and then you add them to groups before they fully matured, you end up with a kid that's just a dancer for years until they're able to get lines, and it's kind of weird seeing, you know, where it goes from there.
Good or bad.
Yeah. And then you also have this principle of putting someone in the group to get them exposure and then making them an actor or an actress. And there's also that sort of animosity, I think, between, you know, established actors and actresses that came up through traditional channels and that sort of thing. And no one ever really takes the time to see how that affects people and relationships in the industry.
So true. K-pop has yet to mature. Trust me. This is just their, maybe, this is not birthing pains because the K-pop started in the 90s.
Maybe it's puberty.
Like, K-pop as we know it. Yeah, puberty. Growing pains, I think.
Uh-huh.
Growing pains. It's going to adjust. It's definitely going to change. So I'm not giving up on K-pop. I don't think I'd ever give up on K-pop. No. Because, I don't know, K-pop has this sort of entertainment value that I cannot walk away from, and it has all the drama, hey.
Definitely.
Keeps me amused for days on end. So, yeah. I suggest people don't give up on K-pop if you feel like you're gonna give up soon. Don't. Just don't let it run your life, okay? You still have other things to do. I guess if you have to study, and stuff like that, just don't let it run and rule your life. That's not the right way to go. Yeah. So, yeah, I hope you don't give up on K-pop anytime soon because of all these dramas. Yeah.
As long as it remains entertaining, I think that I will not be able to give up on it.
It is entertaining, right? We've been here for a very long time now. If we were to give up, we would have given up ages ago.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. Yeah. So brace yourselves, people. More and more groups are coming. Can't really complain about that. I mean, I can just complain now.
Yeah.
But I don't really mean it. I don't mean it, because I like it. Keeps things fresh.
And especially, like, with this huge variety of groups and idols that are debuting, you know, everybody's kind of guaranteed to find someone they'll like.
Yes, exactly. But you know, the argument with me is that I will never find someone who can replace Dongbang Shinki in my heart.
That's what you think.
Huh. That's what I think. Yeah, maybe. It's been years, okay? That's what I think. But you know, I have room for other groups, right? I have room for other people. I like other groups. It's not just about Dongbang Shinki for me, but they will always be number one for me, in my heart anyway. So that's how it's supposed to be, people. So yeah, make room for other groups, okay? Look who's talking.
Sure. So I think with that we wrapped up an overlong free talk. I guess we'll get back to our regularly scheduled programming when we release the next episode. But thanks for listening. As always, the places you can find us, the website is arkpop.com. The Twitter account is twitter.com/arkpoppodcast. We are on iTunes, so if you want to subscribe to us that way, you can by searching for the Always Rational K-pop Podcast. You can find us on Facebook the same way. Continue to like us on Facebook, and eventually we are going to have a URL that I can remember and pass on to you. And
Shorter name.
the email address is the Always Rational K-pop Podcast at gmail.com.
And that's it, right? Because I can't even remember half of those things, trust me. So anyway, this has been episode 25 of the All Is Rational K-pop Podcast. Thank you very much for listening to us. We really appreciate it. So drop us a line if you have time. Tweet us or, yeah, like us on Facebook. And subscribe to us on iTunes. So you guys have a great week ahead, okay? It's not the weekend. So guys, have good rest of the week, okay? And if you're in the hurricane staff, please stay safe and sound, okay? Alright, bye everyone. Yeah.